Our lines are open. Please go ahead.
Okay, thanks. This is part of the IBM Virtualization Engine Deep Dive Education Sessions. There may be several other presentations in the area of interest. This presentation is titled User Interface Enhancements and Simplification, and I am Richard Bryan, the presenter. I will also be joined by Rob Warren, who will be presenting the CLI portion. There will be a Q&A call in early October, so please send your questions to maddie@us.ibm.com by October 1st. Please note that although I did not mark these slides IBM confidential, they are, so please don't share with anyone outside the company. Okay, so start with slide two. The agenda, we're going to talk about the main console enhancements, also known as Project Simplify first, and then we're going to talk about accessibility enhancements, the online helps and publications, the event action plan wizards, the software distribution enhancements, and finally the management server command line interface. Moving on to slide four. This is the 4.22 console, and this is what the main console has looked like since version 1. So it's developed sort of a cult following. People, once they learned how to use it, they like it, but it's hard for people to just sit down and start using. It's sort of different. And what we wanted to do was, while keeping this, while not alienating our cult following, we also wanted to make it more approachable for the first-time user. Move on to slide five. So we had two things. Familiarity, we wanted to move to a familiar paradigm like Explorer, and we had coexistence. So we wanted to not alienate our former users, allow them to go ahead and upgrade seamlessly. Slide six, this is a shot of Explorer, and this is the paradigm that we tried to build off of. Everyone's used to Explorer, so we wanted to make our console work as well as Explorer does. And here you can see the various things. We have a current location indicator, an up button so you can navigate up and down the tree, the standard menus that include all tasks, customizable toolbar, the columns that can be sorted, reordered, customized, navigation pane, which can be open and closed, and right-click menus throughout. Move to slide seven. And this is what the new console looks like, the Director 5.1 console. We have standard menus now that include all tasks. Up until now, we had tasks sort of spread in various places, and you had to sort of know how to get to them to launch them. Now, anything that you can get to from right-click menu or the former tasks pane is also in the menu bar. We now have a customizable toolbar, so you can put any task that you want on the toolbar. Any task that was formerly seen in the tasks pane can now go in this toolbar. And you can customize it to put the three or four tasks that you use all the time and reduce the noise of the tasks that you don't care about. We now have a current location indicator selector to tell you what group you're in. That's a drop down that allows you to select the group from there so that you can close the groups pane, which is considered our navigation pane, and use that drop down to navigate back and forth. We also have an up button so you can go up through the groups and categories that way. The biggest feature of the new console is this details view, and that is the details view of whatever group you're currently looking at, and it's going to list all the systems with customizable columns. So you can show TCP/IP addresses, operating systems. You can show any attribute. You can also show any piece of inventory. So the most common things that you care about, you can put right here on the main screen. And we have tried to – we've learned that our users – our sort of expert users all use right clicks to do things fast. So we tried to be smart about our right click menus and put the things in there that they care about. We do a lot of work in that area as well. Let's And here we see the coexistence with the legacy UI. We have these one-touch access, sort of snap to open, snap to close sliders so that you can expand and hide the groups pane and the tasks pane. If you expand them, it'll look like this, and it looks very much like the old console. In fact, if you don't want that details view, let's say you're on, over a slow network and there's some amount of performance problems, though it really should be very minor because we tested with a large number of systems and didn't see any scalability problems, then you can go back to the tree view, and it'll look just exactly like Director 422. And then finally, troubleshooting the console. This is slide 9. We have the console RAS logs. Like normal, you can do RAS watch dash high dash console to watch the logs as they're coming in, or you can do a RAS dump to dump the logs to a file that you can then search. We also have standard out and standard error logs that will get created with any amount of standard out and standard error that comes through, and they are listed there as well. Okay, slide 10, accessibility enhancements. Slide 11. So for 5.10, we are trying to be fully accessible, and we use the checklist provided by the IBM Accessibility Center to make sure that we are compliant with CI 162, which will allow us to say that our product is fully accessible and can be used by people that need screen readers and the like. So for 5.10, we've added keyboard equivalents for all actions. This is a big thing. Before, you had to use the mouse almost exclusively. Now you can use the keyboard to do anything in Director, navigate through the trees, etc. We support high contrast color schemes and large fonts. We have our own, and we also support Windows. So Windows has some high contrast settings that we'll pick up. And we enabled assistive technologies such as screen readers. So as you're navigating through GUI, it will read you the names of the components that you're over. Here's slide 12. This is our view of our high contrast support. We're in yellow on black mode here. Slide 13, this shows our font size customization. This is either medium or large fonts. We actually have very large fonts if you need that as well. Slide 14, this is our accessibility preference settings panel. It shows that this is where you would change for the colors for high contrast colors or the fonts for the larger fonts. And there's also a remote control or remote session panel here that allows you to send keystrokes down to a remote system if you're using remote session or remote control, or keep them locally. Slide 15. Let's see. So again, on Windows, we do use their, we can, you know, detect and use their high contrast settings, so it'll look just like the rest of your Windows applications if you're using high contrast. And for other systems, you have to use our custom settings that we provide. Again, all mouse actions now have a keyboard equivalent. And we use other operating system accessibility features such as mouse keys and sticky keys, et cetera. Slide 16, we'll move on to the online helps and publications. This is something else that we changed drastically for 5.10. We now have Information Center support, and which is a big thing. We'll talk about that more in a minute. We updated all the IBM Director console helps and also have new soft copy documents. Slide 18, let's talk about the Information Center. The Information Center is just a single repository for everything, every piece of help that you could want for Director. And it's a common thing that IBM is using for everything. We have gone to a single source for all of our help, so it's all XML-based, and we can spin you know, generate our HTML helps that you'll see in Director. We can generate the XHTML helps that you'll see in the Information Center, all from the same source, which is a big savings for us. And it makes sure that we have some standardization across our helps. You get to the Accessibility Center from IBM.com. It's on the web. Anyone with a browser can get to it. And again, this is just an IBM sort of site-wide initiative. We're trying to get all our helps in this Information Center. And here's a screenshot of the Information Center. This is in Mozilla. This is slide 19. Slide 20, we'll talk about the IBM Director console helps. We rewrote a lot of the console helps this time around to try and, based on our user test feedback, we're trying to make things easier to find. And that, to that end, we rewrote a lot of the index, which I don't think we had done in a long time. We sort of looked at what's in the index and decided what could go, what could stay, what new things to add. And new for 5.10, we also have a table of contents, which gives you sort of a better way to navigate by a subject to figure out which help you want to see. And again, we're using the same Java help viewer as before. And here are the console links to the help. From the main window, we have the main thing to note here is from help, we have the IBM Director help link. IBM Director help takes you to our new table of contents, and everything else is pretty much unchanged there. Slide 22. So this just explains what the table of contents includes. It includes accessibility, topics, what's new, and introducing IBM Director for the first-time user, using the IBM Director console, IBM Director tasks, IBM Director extensions, managing IBM Director, managing systems, IBM Director console windows, and related information. I don't think we have a slide in here for it, but we also have a what's new help file that's mentioned here, and that will be launched when you first launch Director. So when a new user first installs Director, he's going to get the what's new screen, which he can leave up every, it'll launch every time he uses Director, or he can choose to close it forever, and then he can get to it from the main console help screen. But it basically tells all these different things we've done. Accessibility, the main thing, the changes to the console that an older user might notice, we explain what we've done there. Slide 23, this lists the PDFs. So for IBM Director, we have events, the events reference, an installation and configuration guide, systems management guide, upward integration modules installation guide, web-based access installation and users guide. And for our extensions, we have capacity manager installation users guide, server rate manager installation and users guide, and system availability installation users guide. Moving on to slide 24, the event action plan wizard. In version 4.2.2, we have an event action plan wizard, which was very basic and not that easy to use. So we redesigned it totally for 5.10, sort of looking towards the future. We wanted to make it as easy to use as possible and usable for what we consider the most common events. And, you know, we had human factors help us design this based on user tests. Slide 25. So now, if you're used to 4.2.2, you're used to the Event Action Plan Wizard opening immediately whenever the IBM Director console first starts. We don't do that now. You have to launch it yourself. And we found that users were annoyed by that. We now have multiple launch points from IBM Director console, just like everything. You can launch from the task pane, the toolbar menu, from the Event Action Plan Builder itself, you can get to the wizard, and from the Manage Objects Associations tree. Also new to this release, Event Action Plans can be edited with the wizard. But only event action plans created with the wizard can be edited with it. So they're going to be sort of your more basic plans. We have new event filters. We have three new event filters: the IBM Director Agent offline, CPU utilization, and memory use. So we've added that to the wizard, give you some more flexibility. And we have resource monitors and threshold event filters with CPU utilization and memory use. That's based off resource monitors. Slide 26. So again, we're just talking about the launch points here. It can be launched from every place that a normal task can be launched. It can also be launched from within the action plan builder. Slide 27, more launch points. Slide 28. Okay, let's move on to slide 29, and this is interesting stuff. This is going to be our eWizard screens, and you can see that it looks a lot different from the old wizard. You have a sort of navigation area to the left that tells you where you currently are, which is useful when you're editing a formerly created EEP with this wizard. First thing you do is type in your name. Next slide, 30. You can choose systems. So you go ahead and choose your systems which you want to apply it to. If you don't want to apply it to systems right now and you want to just keep it for later, then you can skip this step. Slide 31, here you're choosing your event filters, and you can see a few of them. We have storage events, security events, IBM Director Agent offline, CPU utilization. CPU utilization is selected here, and that changes what we see below that. And once we select that, we will set our CPU utilization threshold, as you see below. Click Next, and we'll go to slide 32. And this will, we have three basic actions that you can do. You can send an email, you can send a page, or you can start a program either on the system, on another system, or on a management server. Slide 33. And of course, you can test actions by clicking the test actions button, just like you can in the EEP builder. Okay, here we have slide 34. It's just showing a screenshot of testing the actions. Slide 35. This is the time range screen, so you can choose how often you would like to have this event action plan active. Slide 36, and finally we have a summary, which you can view before you click Finish. Slide 37, let's move on to slide 38. We're going to show you some launch points where you can launch the eWizard from the console. I'll just move through these fast. You can see from Tasks pane or from an association that you're viewing. If you're viewing event action plans, you can launch it from there, from the group contents pane. Slide 39, this is showing an example of launching it from the toolbar or from right-clicking it in the Tasks pane or launching it from the builder. Slide 40, and this is just showing that you can edit the plans and all the different places you can launch that. Okay, slide 41, we're going to move on to the software distribution enhancements. Software distribution enhancements are, for this release, we can now distribute to level 0 and level 1 endpoints, which means they do not have a software distribution agent on them. And we do this by using solution install. So also new for this release is we can also use our solution install packages, which is another attempt for IBM to use a standardized site-wide XML format to describe packages. And you have to use solution install packages to deploy to level 0 and level 1. They also go to level 2, but our other package formats do not go to level 0 and level 1. Also new for this release, we have a delayed delivery. And this is for our customers that have a situation where they have a really slow network, let's say a satellite uplink somewhere, and they need to distribute software, but they don't want to send the software package across their network. What we've done is given you an ability to create go ahead and create the software package, and you can hand deliver it, however, CD, you know, later at night when the network's more free. You can get it to the endpoint however you need to. And at that point, once it's on the endpoint, we can then deploy it. And there's also redirector staging here. So if you, let's say you need to get it to a redirector and you have a slow leak to the redirector where it's then going to fan out over a faster network, you can pre-stage it to that redirector, and this is something you could do in the middle of the night when the network's less busy. And then the next day when you're at work, you can then go to your fast network and fan it out to all your machines. Software health check. This is a brand new feature for 5.10, and it's really the first step in hopefully a long process that we're going here. So the idea is we worked with the Update Express team to be able to come away with a common XML format so that the Update Assistant wizard, we can import Update Express packages with this new XML format that will describe their versioning to us. We then run a health check. So from the GUI, you import the package just like you normally would through Update Assistant. So you then right-click on the package and run the software health check. This will go out to your database and look at all the information in your database and come back with those machines that need that require this update. So that in doing so, we will then create a group, a dynamic group, which lists all the machines that need the update. So you can then just drag the update to the group and drop it on the group if you want all the machines to get the update, or you can drag them to single machines, however you want to do it there. This is basically just an easier way to find which groups, which machines or your network require this update. Slide 44, this is an example of starting the health check. We've already imported an Update Express package that supports it. You right-click on it, and you see there's two new items there, perform health check and view health check report. So we're going to perform the health check. Go to slide 45. It will generate this report, which is just a new window that pops up, and it's really for informational purposes only. You can, you can export this out to a file that you can then share with your management to show you that you have these machines out of date, et cetera. And then slide 46, this is showing the dynamic group we created. Notice that we also create a new category called Software Health. And underneath that, you'll have all of the dynamic groups that were created as a result of a software health check. This is the one for the new health check, and it lists the same systems that you just saw in the report. Again, I can drag and drop the update to the group or to single systems. Slide 47, we just have a debugging software distribution software health slide. We have RAS on the console or server. Everybody's used to that. We have logs on level 2 endpoints. That's nothing new for this release. We have the software distribution agent log, SWD agent.log, and that contains the endpoint log, and you can create a file called SWD agent.debug in the log directory to get more detailed logging from your endpoint. Other endpoints, information is in the RAS log. And we have only RAS on level 0 and 1. There's two debug files in the log directory, debug_rpd.log and message_rpd.log. Slide 48, we're going to move on to command line interface, and I will let Rob Warren take over from here. There, Rob?
Oh, great. Thanks, Richard.
Yep.
Okay, so just repeat, we're on slide 48 into the IBM Director 5.10 common command line interface. Skipping forward to slide 49. In conjunction with the console simplification enhancement, the CLI went through a similar process where we enhanced and simplified the interface on the CLI. In this presentation, we'll cover that the topic sets. We will go over the highlights of the IBM Director CLI interface, the new interface, the usability enhancements, the new commands, coexistence with the previous Director command line interface, all the previous commands. We'll review those and how some of the new commands map with the old commands. And there's also a screenshot here on this slide, slide 49, where you can see an example execution of the new CLI interface. Moving on to the next slide, slide 50. Here are some of the highlights of the new Director CLI interface. It's a very high performance interface. It's improved 10 times to 100 times over the previous Director CLI interface. Commands can execute in approximately a tenth of a second, and that was one of the goals which we achieved for the new Director CLI. The new commands are based on GNU and POSIX standards, which will make these commands very familiar to all of our Unix and Linux users. And they're also very similar to the IBM CSM Systems Management tool commands. So there is a good crossover between the two products. The invocation of the CLI has been simplified. Previously, there were a lot of mandatory parameters that had to be supplied to do an execution, and that was the server you wanted to execute against, the username and the password to authenticate with, but that's no longer required. Now you can just execute the Director CLI command, and all that, the credentials are gathered automatically through the operating system, and everything happens automatically under the covers. And on the Linux and Unix installations, there's not even a need to supply the Director CLI command prefix. The commands can be executed directly. The new CLI interface is only installed and can be run from the Director server. It can't be run from the console or agents, as was with the older CLI interface. That decision was made based on the ubiquity of remoting tools, and we just felt that Director didn't need to create yet another remoting tool. It's assumed that SSH or Telnet would be good mechanisms to get from whatever remote location over to the server. And finally, the new Director CLI interface is more secure than the previous one. Through its automatic gathering of credentials, it bypasses the potential for brute force and dictionary-based attacks against Director. One of the, when looking at the new, moving on to the next slide, this is slide 51. One of the, looking at the CLI commands that were implemented for the new release, one of the big benefits of this is all the command interfaces are going to look very similar and accept most of all the same options. So once you get familiar with one Director CLI command, you're going to be familiar, hopefully, with all of them and how they're executed. All the commands are going to accept these multiple targeting options. And most commands are going to target manage objects, and you can use all these different options here. So you can target all, you can target manage objects by their names, same names you see in the console, or you can use their object ID, which is guaranteed to be unique. You can target manage objects by group, by the type of the manage object. Is it a level 2, level 1, level 0? Is it a physical platform? Is it a blade center? And you can also select manage objects by attributes. Is it by IP address, UUID, MAC address? And you can combine those using and or combinational logic as well. So all the commands across the board that target manage objects will support these options here. Moving on to the next slide. This is enhanced list command options. So commands that support displaying and listing director objects and details will all support, you know, similar to how they, the targeting options are similar, they'll all be, the listing options will be similar as well. Specific attributes can be selected. When we're talking about manage objects, you can list just specific attributes of those manage objects. You can list, you can delimit them using by specifying a delimiter. You can have a long output format, which will display them all. You can pull out the unique object identifier. You can put them in a piping format, which can then be used to send to other commands. And there's sorting options as well. All right, moving on to the next slide, slide 53. And again, sticking with the theme of keeping things common across commands, there's a common way to get help and a common way to select verbose and you know, minimal output modes. There's more exit codes as well. This is just sticking again with the theme of just commonality and keeping everything consistent. Okay, moving on to the next slide, slide 54. This is the new commands that have been implemented for Director 5.1 under the new interface. There's a command for listing the manage objects and displaying the manage objects. This is similar to looking at the manage objects on the console. You can look at what objects there are. You can look at what the attributes are for those manage objects, the types of the manage objects. There's a make manage object command, and this command is similar to doing a manual add on the director console. All the manage object types are supported. Level 0, level 1, level 2, the blade center, physical platform, anything that you can manually add on the console, you can manually add from the command line in Director 5.1. Next command is the change manage object. This is used to change manage object attributes, changing ping intervals, changing manage object names. Anything that is that can be changed, any attribute that can be changed on the manage object can be changed with this command. Similar to deleting manage objects, the remove manage object command, the discover manage object command. This is doing broadcast automatic discoveries. You can do it by executing the command by itself. It'll discover basically discover all manage object types, or you can target just specific manage object types with the command as well. Just do a discovery of all blade centers. Do a discovery of just all level 2 manage objects. The access manage object command, similar to doing a request access on the console, it will require you to supply a user ID and password. Optionally, you can have the command prompt you for this in doing a non-echo read for the password for enhanced security. That way it doesn't get entered into any of the execution histories. And then this the ping MO execute causes a presence check of the manage object to be executed, indicating whether the manage object is reachable. Continuing on to the next slide, slide 55, these are some of the commands that target director groups, listing director groups, similar to looking at groups on the consoles. On the console, making groups, you can create your static category and task-based groups. Changing groups, adding members to the group, removing members from the group, and then there's the remove group, which is just deleting it from director. Moving on to the next slide, slide 56. These are the new Director 5.1 common CLI commands for task and power control, listing the director task. This is similar to looking at the far right-hand pane, third pane in the director console, seeing all the tasks that can be executed against manage objects. Only non-interactive tasks can be executed from the CLI. And there's in addition, there's the power command, which will allow you to execute power operations on manage objects that support them. Okay, moving on to slide 57. These are some additional commands that were added for 5.1 as well. The ability to see what commands are available, the list bundle commands, certificate management. There's the configuration manager, be able to list and apply configuration profiles. For the remote library, there's the ability just to see what methods are supported, and there's the ability to import IBM Director Update Assistant packages, and then from the run task command, you could actually apply those packages. Moving on to slide 58. So there is the new interface with many usability and performance and simplification enhancements. There is going to be the existence of the previous CLI interface as well. They're both going to coexist for the foreseeable future. Dir command is the name of the command that was used in previous IBM Director releases. It will still be available, but it will not be available on any platforms that are new to IBM Director 5.1. So this is going to be your I-Series, P-Series, and Z-Series platforms. It will only be available on the X-Series platforms. And we really are encouraging our users to use the Dir CLI interface just because it is so much faster and so much easier to use. And the Dir command interface will not be able to execute the new Dir CLI commands, but the Dir CLI interface can execute the legacy commands. So there's just really a big encouragement and really a big push to move to the Dir CLI interface and start to phase out the Dir command interface, though it will be officially supported. Okay, moving on to slide 59, and this is just kind of a review of previous Dir commands that were available in the previous releases. There's the Blade Center, and these commands are executable through the Dir CLI interface as well. There's the Blade Center commands. You can see right here. I'm not going to go over these in too much detail. Moving on to slide 60, there's the event management commands. There's the manage system level 2 commands. There's the process monitor commands. Moving on to slide 61, resource monitor commands, scheduler commands, and this is for when you're similar to the console scheduler for listing jobs that have been scheduled, listing the activations, previous jobs that have run, then looking at the status of those jobs. There's the SNMP device commands, and there's the user administration bundle. This is new to Director 5.1, which allows you to perform operations administration on Director users, providing and removing privileges. Okay, moving on to slide 62. And this is kind of showing a mapping of some of the overlap between Dir CLI commands and Dir command commands, Dir CLI being the new ones, Dir command being the old commands. There is some overlap at this point. In some cases, functionality that's under the Dir command interface hasn't been done under the new Dir CLI interface yet, and you can still use Dir CLI to execute those commands. Moving forward, we're going to try to completely have all commands and all functions accessible through the Dir CLI interface and this new GNU POSIX interface. You can this can be read through, but that's what that's showing there. Moving on to the next slide, this is the last CLI slide, showing how to debug the debug command line interface problems. As with most of the Director product, you can use the RAS log to watch a lot of the activity, and it's all under the engine component. In addition, you can see some additional CLI-specific logging by setting the dir CLI debug environment variable to 1, and that will show you some of the locale processing and some of the interactions between the dir CLI client and the dir CLI server. And as with the rest of the product, there's the CLI, there's the auditing, which the CLI is fully implemented in. Okay, well, that's all we had for the command line interface.
All right, thanks, Rob. That's all we have for this presentation altogether, so I guess we'll go ahead and sign off. And again, if anyone has any questions, please email Maddie, M-A-D-D-I-E, at us.ibm.com by October 1st. Thanks a lot.
And gentlemen, this is the operator. I'm here with you.
Great.
Okay, I will. And you didn't have any others to dial in, so they didn't have
great.
The signal.
Great. Well, thanks so much for your support.
All right. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Have a good day.
You too.
Goodbye.
Bye.